I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Something related to crime in St. Louis kind of caught my attention. We do a lot of work with the Show Me Institute, and Susan Pendergrass at the Show Me Institute, she's been a guest on the show many times, did an interview with United States Attorney Tom Albus, who represents this part of the state as the U.S. Attorney. And I thought, well, I told Fred, maybe we should get Mr. Albus on. In fact, we did. So Tom joins us this afternoon to talk about some of these issues related to crime in St. Louis and what the U.S. Attorney's Office is doing. Tom Albus, thank you for coming on this afternoon. Really appreciate it.
Mark, thank you for having me. You bet.
The one topic that caught my attention, let's just start with this, because in that interview, you kind of talked about how the city has run out of jail capacity. And I mentioned on the show several times, including a few minutes ago, one of the first things that Tashara and Cori Bush and Kim Gardner did when they were all elected many years ago is they went to the workhouse and they had empathy for the people and the criminals that were in there. But they took that thing out of service, and that means that there are not as many spaces to put some of these violent criminals. Is that true?
That's true.
So
I mean, a thought to start our discussion is I want one jail cell for every offender that a judge in the city or St. Louis County or anywhere in our region thinks is too much of a risk of flight or too much of a danger to the community to be let out on bond. That's what we need. And of course, that, you know, the whole criminal justice approach to our region is more complex than that. But with respect to the jails, if they're getting to the capacity, that's a concern for everybody.
Yeah. So what's the solution there? Because obviously there were people that criticized the workhouse because of the conditions, and that's one of the reasons that they went over there. But there's really been no effort to make amends for that or try to create more space, right?
Right. I mean, I'll just throw out there, this might be off topic for you, but I'm in the federal court, and when I was in AUSA coming up, St. Louis City and St. Louis County were able to house lots of our pretrial detainees in the Justice Center and in the County Justice Center. And now they're at capacity. So our United States Marshal has to do all sorts of machinations to house folks in federal court. And some of them are 100, 150, 200 miles away from the federal court. So there's just a shortage. And that's not fair to the defendants that are being detained 200 miles away from home. And it's not good for the marshals, and it's not good for the lawyers. It's just a problem. And, that's something that we just need to be aware of. And my interview with Susan had to do with there are folks that want to try to be strategic about getting as many people out of jail as possible. And that's great. But, you know, it's a complex issue. And the fact of the matter is they're just some violent, antisocial people that judges are determining in their discretion should be locked up. And I just want to make sure there's enough spaces to lock them all up.
So are those, you know, are there conversations that you have with either the mayor or, you know, anybody else along those lines to come up with more solutions or not?
Not really. I mean, we have a great relationship with the city and the county, local law enforcement, federal law enforcement, and we really are worried about, you know, indicting the bad guys. We've got great partners with the county prosecutor and the circuit attorney, and that's really our focus. But when I gave this talk there, you know, and again, it had to do with folks that say, let's use this risk assessment tool in court and try to get as many people out of custody as possible, which is fine, but it's just a discussion that we all need to have. I think if you told Mr. and Mrs. John Q. Public, we're going to let this person that's been indicted by a grand jury for robbery and they have a criminal history, or, you know, every case is special, but there's just, unfortunately, a lot of violence and a lot of repeat offenders in there. And to me, the sensible thing to do with those folks is to keep them detained until their trial comes up.
One of the things you talked about in that interview, and I was unfamiliar with this term, is this risk assessment when it comes to, kind of looking at where these criminals should be or who should be behind bars for how long. Can you explain that?
Right. So it's a kind of a matrix and a lot of stuff that people would think, well, that's common sense. If the guy has a prior, then he's more risky. That's true. If the guy is below a certain age, then he's more risky. Is the guy on bond already for another felony? He's more risky to let out on bond. So again, that's fine. I think it's fine that judges can be guided by some factors. But the risk assessment that we were given, I sat as a judge in St. Louis County before I did this job. Mm-hmm. And the risk assessment tool that we were given said, okay, give all the points and add it all up. But at the end of the day, the recommendation was almost always for bond. And that, you know, again, if you asked a regular person, not a lawyer, not a police officer, walking down the street, say, ma'am, sir, this person is already on bond for first-degree burglary. That's going into somebody's house to commit another crime while they're there. And we got him out on bond, and now he's been charged with another burglary, or maybe he has an unlawful weapon, or maybe he's been dealing fentanyl. What do you think should happen until this guy's trial comes up? I think most people in our community would say, well, that's, you know, we gave him a chance, and that's it, and he should be locked up. And I just don't want, you know, that's the issues that we're all facing. What do we do with these repeat offenders, people that are already on parole, probation, bond, and unfortunately, in our region, we just have a challenge in that area.
Yeah, U.S. Attorney Tom Albus is with us. Is it just this region, or is that something that is challenging elsewhere? Is it more challenging here, I'm hearing from you?
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, again, one size doesn't fit all in our region, you know, and of course, if you go to the city, I mean, Chief Tracy, I have a great regard for, and I believe that Mayor Spencer really wants to focus on public safety. Everybody does. But we reduced murders in the city of St. Louis down to 140 a year. And, you know, we had a press conference. We were so happy with 140 murders in a city of 280,000 people. That's 50 for every 100,000. The national average is in the high single digits, so that's a problem.
Yeah.
Now, if you go across Skinker, then it gets closer to the national average. And if you go across the Missouri River to St. Charles, then it gets down to one for every 100,000 people or two. I mean, that's a big difference. So one size doesn't fit all, but certainly, you know, that's what our office is laser focused on, is trying to identify the most violent folks in our community and incapacitate them, get them out of the community so everybody can enjoy safety and be able to grow. So it, one size doesn't fit all, though.
So, but your office also does a fair amount of work with white collar crime too, doesn't it?
That's correct. And that's true in most U.S. attorneys' offices. But again, I've been involved in about 25 years. St. Louis and across administrations has always had a disproportionate focus on violent crime in our community, because it's something that we have a good relationship with the city police department and the circuit attorney's office, and we have skilled prosecutors, and it's something that's there. You're right that about more than half of our office is not violent crime or complex drug organizations, but we do spend more of our resources on it than, say, Milwaukee or Chicago or Minneapolis or another Midwestern city that's similar to St. Louis, Indianapolis, for example.
Well, you know, when it comes to crime, and certainly I know you've been very close to this for your career, I've talked about it on the radio for a long time, but obviously there's a lot of things that play into the violent crime. You know, a lot of people want to blame the guns. There's people that are living in poverty that have no hope. There's a lot more drugs, and that's what leads to some of the violent crime. But socioeconomically, and just even, you know, what happened with the St. Louis Public Schools in the last couple of years with the nonsense with the, you know, the superintendent, and then that sets people back even further after COVID. So, I mean, a lot of this stuff just accumulates and makes your job tougher, doesn't it?
That's true, but I would make this point that all your listeners should remember. There are a lot of people in our region that are living in poverty that have difficult socioeconomic circumstances, but the vast, vast, vast majority of them are not out here committing violent crimes and dealing fentanyl and doing this sort of thing. So I'm not really a believer that in this kind of root cause argument that you got to solve the root cause first, because, again, you may be living in poverty in our region. You may have all sorts of problems, but we're talking about a very small percentage of our community that's committing these carjackings, dealing fentanyl. shootings, et cetera. And so all those people have all those challenges, and yet the vast majority of them are not committing these types of crimes. So that's where I'm at. I mean, obviously, everyone wants to have education as well, as good as possible for our families. Everybody wants to have everybody living in prosperity. But the cause is personal agency. And there's some of these people that just are not down with the social compact, and they need to be taken out of our community so that everybody else can thrive.
I remember a situation, this may go back even 15 years, maybe more than that, where there was a state, and this happened in Chicago, maybe some other places, but I think St. Louis was part of that, where there was a re-emphasis, if you will, on cooperation between local authorities and the U.S. Attorney's Office. And I think one of the goals at the time was to kind of get the message out to the criminals and the community that, you know, this stuff is not going to be tolerated, that there are going to be more consequences. Is that part of the mission here as well?
Right. I mean, I will say there was something that you may have been thinking about. You know, they had the billboards with, you have a gun, you're going to go to North Dakota and for 5 years, or, you know, they tried to get the message out that don't carry a gun around because bad things happen and you don't want to be in a federal prison in North Dakota in January, which I don't know if that was particularly effective or not, but it was called Project Safe Neighborhoods. And it's something that we still do. We've always cooperated with the city and the county and the feds and the locals. It's always been great as long as I've been involved, because the city police department and the St. Louis County Police Department are just excellent. I mean, they are just absolutely excellent. A lot of people maybe complain about government services from time to time, but in my experience, they are great. And the federal agents know that, and we've always worked together because we really don't have any other choice in St. Louis. We've got all these different cities, and we have all these different, even across the river. We did Operation Patriot Shield last few weeks ago with our partners in Southern Illinois. There's no other choice. We've got to attack it any which way you can. But that's something that's always been going on.
Yeah, I like what I'm hearing, though. I like the, you know, the emphasis on all this stuff. And thank you so much for coming on here this afternoon, Tom. Keep us posted, okay?
Thanks for having me. Anytime.
Yeah, it's Tom Allis, the U.S. Attorney for this district, the Eastern District of Missouri.
Get more at 971talk.com.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.